Can we have a good
question? If somebody will baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of
can you
the
come Spirit. Forward? Give us a microphone, please. Come forward. Give us microphone. Yes?
Hello. If somebody is being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, is it in one Jesus Christ?
Ask your question again.
If somebody is being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, is it in under the name of one Jesus Christ?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so that's what I want to know.
No, let me be sure you understand me. What's the name of your father?
Onwuatu.
Eh?
Onwuatu. He came Onwuatu.
Onwuachukwu.
Yes.
Onwuachukwu.
Onwuatu.
Onwuatu.
Yes.
Onwuatu.
Yes.
What
Onwuatu,
is
Onwuatu?
What is the name of your father?
My father, but the name of man is Ike Onwuatu.
No. The name of your father is Ike. Father.
Ike. Father, that is
Ike. The name of your father, his name Ike. Is Father.
Ike.
No, it's Father.
Father.
Eh?
Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus. The name of your father is Onwuatu.
Yes.
Eh? So if I say do something in the name of your father, which name will you use? What? Which name?
Onwuatu.
Uh-huh. Because Onwuatu is the name of your father. So when Jesus Christ said, go and baptize in the name of the Father, you will say, I baptize in the name of Father. What's the name? Thank you. Any other question? Yes? Yes, the next person. Give him microphone now.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
According to that very scriptural verse, Matthew 28:19. And thank God I was recently baptized. But according to the Bible, it stated that we should be baptized in the name of God the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
And no, it didn't say baptized in the name of God the Father. He said baptized in the name of the Father.
Father.
Yes.
And of the Son.
Yes.
And of the Holy Ghost.
Quote it again. We should do what?
He said that we should go and preach the gospel and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, so what's the problem?
So my question now is, we are not just told to be baptized in the name of Jesus, but in the name of God, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
What is the name of the Son?
Jesus Christ.
So if you are to baptize in the name of the Son, which name will you use?
The name of the Son.
Yes.
Is Jesus Christ.
So he said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son. Okay, you don't know the Father. Which name will you baptize in the name of the Son?
Which name will baptize in the name of the Son?
Which name?
The Son is Jesus Christ.
So if you are to baptize in the name of the Son, which name will you use?
Jesus Christ.
So the name of the Son is what?
Jesus Christ.
So you will baptize in the name of the Son using which name?
Jesus Christ.
So your problem now is the Father and the Holy Ghost. Eh?
Yes, sir.
Are you still confused?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
John chapter 5. Help us read it. Verse 43. Can you give him? John chapter 5. Read verse 43.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I am come.
Who is talking there? Who is talking?
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
I am come in my Father's name.
Uh-huh.
And you receive me not.
He said he came in his Father's name.
Yes.
Which name is he referring to?
God.
Which name is he referring to?
Jesus is saying that he came in his Father's name.
So which name is that? What is his name?
His name is Jesus Christ.
And he's telling you that the name he's coming with is his Father's name. So what is his Father's name? Are you clear now? No, brother. Brother, come back. Are you clear? No, he's still confused. Please. Please, I know he's speaking somebody's mind too. Are you still confused?
A bit, sir.
A bit. See, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, go and baptize in the name. Means one name. Of. Did you go to school?
Yes, of course.
Which level you read, Rich?
Secondary school.
Eh?
Secondary school.
Secondary school. Yes. At least it means you can read and write. Yes. At least use your WAEC or whatever now. Eh? If they say, go and baptize in the name of the Father. Church, there's a statement I always make here. Every Tuesday program we have here. I say, many of us read the Bible instead of studying the Bible. I say, don't read the Bible. Study the Bible. If you read the Bible, you will never understand the Bible. But if you study the Bible, you will understand. Now, if you are studying the Bible, Jesus said, go and baptize in the name of the Father. You will stop. What is the name of the Father? And of the Son. What is the name of the Son? And of the Holy Ghost. What is the name of the Holy Ghost? If you read the Bible like that, you won't be arguing, you won't be confused now. Because everywhere baptism was done in the Bible was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never see that Father, Son, Holy Ghost anywhere again. Why? Because Matthew 28 verse 19 is the commandment. The obedience of that commandment now is where you see in the Bible.
Please, sir. I want you to clear me very well. The place where Peter baptized Peter baptized in the Acts of Apostles, I think chapter 10.
The house of Cornelius.
Cornelius, yes.
Yes. Yes. What do you want to clarify there?
How he baptized him.
How did they baptize
him? The family, yes.
Okay, let's read it now. Chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Oh yeah. Read it now. The story ends in verse 48. Read it. Verse 48. Up here.
Verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then,
what is the name of the Lord?
Jesus Christ.
So what's your question?
I am cleared now.
You are clear now?
Yes, sir.
Any other person? Okay, the last person now. Or any sister? Okay, let me hear you, sister. Let's hear one sister before that brother. Yes? Put on the microphone for her. Who gave her microphone? Give her microphone.
My question is, for instance, you've been baptized with the name Jesus Christ. Somehow, you went back and rebaptized with the name of Son, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Will there still be need for you to rebaptize?
You baptized in the name of Jesus.
Sure.
Then you went back again to baptize in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That is, you enter the covenant, then you came out of the covenant. That's what happened. So go back to the covenant. Go back to the covenant. Yes? Bring the microphone here, please. Okay, that should be the last two now. Yes?
Praise the Lord. Man of God.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, Rigo, sir.
Thank you.
Baptism by the Holy Ghost. Can that come before water baptism?
That's your question?
That's my question.
Now, listen, very important. The house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. they received the Holy Ghost. But after they received the Holy Ghost, Peter turned and said, these people have received the same spirit we received. What stops us now from baptizing them? So it means you can receive the Holy Ghost before you receive your water baptism. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost before I went for water baptism because of where he met me. Hallelujah. I was inside the prison yard when he visited me. I gave my life to Christ there. And that very day I gave my life to Christ, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. And immediately I came out, the church rushed me to the water and baptized me. But watch it. The evidence that it is the correct Holy Ghost you have received is that the Bible says the Holy Ghost will lead you to all truth. If you have received the Holy Ghost in any of this, and you can receive the Holy Ghost anywhere. You can receive the Holy Ghost in a SLA church. You can receive the Holy Ghost in a Catholic church. You can receive the Holy Ghost under a woman pastor. You can receive the Holy Ghost in a black Maria. You can receive the Holy Ghost in your bedroom. You can receive the Holy Ghost in the bathroom. You can receive the Holy Ghost anywhere in your marketplace. But the evidence that it is the Holy Ghost is that he will lead you to where your sins will be remitted correctly.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name was he baptized?
I don't know. I don't know. But I know that he told us to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And that is the one we are obeying.
Were the apostles baptized?
Sure, they were baptized.
By Christ himself?
I don't know who baptized them, but certainly they were baptized because they preached baptism. And you can't preach baptism if you yourself have not been baptized.
Now, is baptism by immersion a prerequisite?
For what?
To remission of sins.
I've just said it. How is your sins remitted? Through the blood of Jesus. So how do you indicate you believe that you are among those his blood was remitted? Is to die with him, to be buried with him, and to resurrect with him. Then that sin is remitted.
What of the criminal that was crucified with Christ?
Now the criminal was not in the grace age. The grace age started from the Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. That is when the grace age started. Any other question?
Not for now, sir.
Eh?
Not for now, sir.
Not for now.
Yes, sir.
Okay, God bless you. The last person.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Pastor, I thank God for the grace upon your life.
Thank you.
Your son is so great.
Thank you.
I have one question to ask, sir.
Uh-huh.
According to the word of God, in the book of 1 John chapter 5, from 7. He said, for there are three that bears record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. Sir, please, I want you to explain very well for me, please.
Sorry, I'm being distracted. I'm sorry. They said there is somebody that is trying to come out. And they are, come, maybe he has something. Come, bring him. No, I know why they push you back because of our time. I said that's the last person. But since you look very violent, let's hear you. Yes.
Sir, because this question I'm asking now, sometimes if I'm confronting people concerning this Trinity, they are fighting with me with this particular place.
No, listen, church. I am resisting being diverted. We are looking at a commandment of Jesus Christ. He said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What has 1 John 5, 7 got to do with this?
Because
it has nothing to do with it.
Because if I'm telling about this, they still refer me to this
place. I'm saying it has nothing to do with the process of remission of sins. I am teaching you, I am emphasizing a scripture, all this thing I'm saying now, I am explaining what Christ meant by saying, whom he called, he justified. I am teaching you how he justifies. That's all I'm saying now.
No, according to the first John chapter 5,
he said that I say it has nothing to do with justification. Okay. That's why I'm not going that way. Okay. You can come back next week and ask me.
Okay, thank you.
We will tear that one down. Yes, brother? Somebody again? A sister is up? Yes?
But praise the Lord. God bless you. I have a question about the baptism. I know you said...
Can you give him that microphone? We have a good microphone there, please.
Okay, when you said that there is nothing like the Holy Trinity, I want to understand, is there God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Or is that the same person manifesting in different powers?
Did I preach against Trinity today?
No, because the thing is that I want to understand, when we receive the baptism, we have to baptize in the name of Jesus.
Okay.
But it said also that baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So is that the same person?
No, I'm resisting being diverted, but I can answer this. Are we nullifying Trinity? Is that what you're asking me?
Okay, if there's no Trinity, I'm asking, is there three different people? Is there God the Father? Is there God the Son and God the Holy Spirit?
Okay, that's the meaning of Trinity. No, it's okay. Just let me summarize this. The doctrine of Trinity that says that the Godhead, the revelation of the Godhead, is three persons in one God.
Yes.
Making them four.
No, making them three. God the
Talk
Father.
To microphone. Talk to microphone.
Making them three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Is there anything like
there
that?
There are three.
Just one.
They are God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Three persons in one. The one that they are in, making fun.
No, the reason I'm asking that also.
Okay. The doctrine of Trinity is three persons in one God. No, it is unscriptural.
Okay, that's what
now, yeah, it's unscriptural. It is not three persons in one God, but one God in three redemptive offices. And these are the offices. These are the offices. The Father of all creation, God in creation as the Father, wanted to come to redeem his children. He came in his Son. The Bible says God the Father was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The same God was in Christ. That same God, after he paid the price for redemption, went back and came back in the purchased possession as the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
The same one God in three offices, not three different persons.
Okay, thank you, sir.
God bless you. Yes.
Praise God.
Bless you.
Pastor. My background is Orthodox. I started with Anglican Church. Then when you are teaching about Holy Spirit, does it mean that Anglican and Catholic Church, those that sprinkle, will go to hellfire? This is a clear question. Because in my church, we don't baptize in immersion, as you said. In my church, I don't know who will change it, or can you go further and make them to know? Or are we going to hellfire? Or are we making heaven? Question.
Listen, sir. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sir, listen. There are two scriptures I want you to consider. It's okay. I'll quote them for you. The first scripture looks at the attempt of every religion to get to the Creator. The Hindus believe they are going to heaven. Muslims believe they are going to heaven. Hare Krishna believe they are going to heaven. Buddhists, they believe they are going to heaven. Guru Maharaj, they believe they are going to heaven. But in John chapter 14 verse 6, hallelujah, Jesus said, sir, you are listening. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Wait. Do you believe that scripture?
I believe it.
That means no matter whatever any other religion does, outside of Jesus Christ, they will never get to the Creator. Am I correct?
You are correct, sir.
Eh?
You are correct. One thing I want to...
I never finish. The second scripture says this way. Hallelujah. That God is looking for worshippers. That we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Church. It means it is not just that you are coming to worship the Father. You must worship Him in truth. Why did He say in truth? Because you can worship Him in error. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, He made it clearer. Because you are seeing millions of Anglicans and millions of Catholics and millions of the rest that have deviated from the Bible teachings. And you are saying that does it mean they are going to hell? Matthew chapter 7 from verse 13 tells us. He said, enter ye through the straight gate. He said, for narrow is the way, is the gate. And wide, broad is the way that leadeth to what? To destruction. He said, and many there be that entering in thereat. And he said another scripture. I mean, another verse there. He said, narrow, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. He said, that leads to life. And few there be that findeth it. So, what I'm saying is this. Hallelujah. What do you want to say? I've not finished.
There is still one thing.
Okay.
Maybe when we are going on, you
will finish. Right, yes.
In my church, Anglican church, when we start in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, does that Jesus they mention, does it mean is not ineffective?
Church,
in according to the word.
Church, listen. You see, I believe you want to know, that's why you are asking question. Water baptism by sprinkling is unscriptural. When somebody dies, you don't sprinkle sand on him. You cover him. That is burial. Baptism is burial. So, your church is wrong to sprinkle water. Simple. Any other person? That's all. Listen, church. Hallelujah. Brother Anglican, see. Hallelujah. Listen. Why did Jesus not say, go and baptize in my name? Why did he say, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost? Jesus Christ always went and spoke in parables. Parables, because seated there were a mixed multitude. Then when he is with his disciples alone, that's Mark chapter 4, he begins to give them the meaning of those parables that he spoke outside. He will not tell them the meaning in his crusade. He will just give the parable. He will leave them to give their own private interpretation to those parables. But when he's alone with his disciples, then he will explain the meaning of the parable. And the disciples asked him in Mark chapter 4, why do you always speak in parable? And he turned and he looked at them. He said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. But to them who are without, outside this fold, to them it is not given. That is why it is spoken to them in parable, so that seeing they will see, they will not understand. They will hear, they will not perceive. So that they will not understand and repent, and their sins be forgiven them. That means some people's sins must not be forgiven them. Therefore, they must not know the correct water baptism for the remission of their sins.
Sir,
and let me tell you, sir, why I believe that scripture is this scripture, Matthew 28 verse 19, is so simple. But William Branham made a statement. He said, as simple as water baptism is, he said, the spirit of error has been so rooted in the church of Jesus Christ that he said it will take the Holy Ghost for somebody to understand even this simple thing. Why? Because you went to school, brother. You speak English, brother. The Bible says, go and baptize in a name. Not names. And then you read all the Bible. You didn't see any place where that title, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, was used. The disciples that he spoke to, every one of them baptized in the name of Jesus. You know it better than them. And show me anywhere in the Bible where water was sprinkled. The word baptism is a Greek word, baptized, to baptizo. That is to be covered, immersed inside water. So, what argument? Anybody that argues this, it is not sir, given
please,
to you.
Please, I'm not arguing this.
No, I'm talking generally because...
I'm sorry, sir, please, don't be annoying.
How can I be angry?
Does he mean, sorry, because you are an authority, does he mean a mansion or sprinkle, does that thing make a way for heaven? Or does he make any impact in heaven?
Praise the Lord.
Somebody in heaven.
Praise the Lord. I want you to listen that water baptism is not a doctrine of a church. It's a commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it has no salvation virtue, Jesus will not have given it as an ordinance. There are three ordinances in the Bible. The first one is water baptism. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The first one is water baptism. What's the second one? Eh? Feet washing. The third one, communion. Water baptism, communion, that is the Lord's Supper, and feet washing. These are the three things, and each of them has a bearing with salvation.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Thank you. Church, listen. As I round up, before we go to action. As I round up, church, listen. He said, whom he has called, verse 30 of Romans chapter 8, them he also justified. They are the ones that he will lead them to correct water baptism for the remission of their sins. Because Peter was given the key in Matthew 16. And the key to the kingdom, Peter applied that key in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The key, when they asked him after he preached, men and brethren, what shall we do? When they were pricked in their heart, he said what? Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The formula is, you must first repent. Then secondly, you will be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the key. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And whom he justifies, they are the ones he glorifies. The glorification is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because it is the final seal for your redemption. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. The work of salvation in your life is ended with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that is what we are here for. You see? make your calling and election sure. Whom he called, he will justify. And those he justify, he will glorify. Many are called, a few are chosen. Those who are chosen, they are justified. Their sins are remitted. And they are given the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. How do you receive the Holy Ghost? Because we are going to receive now. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We notice, number one, in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, it said they were all gathered in one accord. They were all gathered in one accord. One accord there. And this is a beautiful setting for this. The one accord here is the unity of purpose. And I know that nobody came here for healing today. Nobody came here for family deliverance. Because we did not advertise that you should come here for breakthrough. We didn't say you should come here so that we shall anoint you for business breakthrough. All we said is come for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And everyone here today, I believe that is why you are here. If I'm correct, can I see your hand up? How many? Okay, put down your hands. I don't expect any prophet to pick anybody and say, the reason you are here today is because of your marriage. We are here. Hallelujah. Because we want to go to heaven. How many people want to go in the rapture? Can I see you? Ha! Jesus is coming soon, church. Put down your hands. Hallelujah. He said that we are gathered in one accord, and suddenly something happened. Today something will happen to somebody here suddenly. I said something will happen to someone here suddenly. In Acts chapter 10, if you read it from verse 44, Peter was in the house of Cornelius. While he was telling him about who Jesus Christ is and what he came to achieve, the Bible says, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost came down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So even as I am preaching, somebody can receive the Holy Ghost. Of course, it happens in this church very regularly. Very regularly, when the sermon is going on, it will strike somebody. That is two. The third way, how to receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 8, if you read it from verse 14 up to verse 17, when Samaria received the word, they were baptized, but they had not yet received the Holy Ghost. The apostles in Jerusalem had, and they went down. The Bible says they laid hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. And so, by the servants of God laying hand upon you, you can also receive the Holy Ghost. And finally, by praying, by asking God to give you the Holy Ghost. We see that in Luke chapter 11, if you read it from verse 11, particularly verse 13, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? So when you ask by prayers, he, God, will give you the Holy Ghost. And this type of prayer is not that type of prayer of saying, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. Father, give me as you are given. Give me too. Give me Holy Ghost. No. The type of prayer here is a prayer of desperation. Psalm 42. Verse 1 says, as the heart panted after the water brooks. Hallelujah. As the heart. Amen. Amen. As the heart. How did he put it? Is it a deer or heart? I think the Bible says, call it heart. Let me read it again. I think it's chapter 42. As the heart, yes, panted after the water brooks. He says, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The heart there is a deer, it's an animal, as we are made to understand. That animal has a nature that if a hunter fired that animal, blood will start to come out. You know, when blood is coming out, you're losing life. But there's something about that animal's makeup. Once he can get water and drink water, the blood will stop. So immediately you fire him, he will begin to run to the nearest source of water, knowing that if I can just get to that water, I know I will live. Imagine the type of race that animal will run. That is the desperation. You must be looking for the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't go to heaven. We are told that the Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. He is our hope for the rapture. We will look at it more as the days go by. But for today, praise the Lord. You have to pray desperately as if this is the only opportunity you have. Remember, hallelujah, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is God's own way of bringing you into his kingdom. And John 3:5 says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. The water there is water baptism and the water of the world. And the Spirit there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter. If you want to enter the kingdom, you must be born again through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13 says, by one Spirit are we baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 tells us, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, he said, you are none of his, because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to understand something. And we close on that and pray. Hallelujah. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's something that confuses the Pentecostals. When I say, come for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, some of you are coming to speak in tongue. Ha! You didn't come here to speak in tongue, oh! Throughout these 6 days, it is not to speak in tongue, it is to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Church, on the day of Pentecost, listen, church. The Bible says, listen, tongues of fire came upon them, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, not as Peter taught them. But church, my emphasis here today is this. The tongue that they spoke on the day of Pentecost is different from the tongue that we speak now. Listen, church. The tongue that was spoken on the day of Pentecost, when the Bible says, all the Jews that were in Jerusalem, they heard them. Every one of them was hearing them speak in their own mother tongue from the nations they came from. That is, I am in Lagos here, but I am from Akwanga. Now, we speak largely Hausa in our areas, the general language. Now, I will hear you, you are speaking in tongue. And maybe you are Yoruba. Two of us here, We are hearing one man speaking. But I will be hearing Hausa, you will be hearing Yoruba as he is speaking. But to him, he is speaking an unknown tongue. That was what happened that day. I hope you know that is not the tongue you hear now. That is what happened on the day of Pentecost. When somebody said it was, they began to speak in tongue. Therefore, open your mouth, begin to talk. I will come near you to hear whether I will hear my language. If I cannot hear my language you are speaking, that is not the tongue that was spoken on the day of Pentecost. That's not the same anointing. What was happening was fulfilling Isaiah chapter 28. Can we read it? Isaiah, quickly, let me read it. Isaiah chapter 28. Let me read it from verse 7. To Israel, listen. Isaiah 28 from verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean in Israel. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Verse 11 now. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is a refreshing, yet they will not hear. With stammering lips. It was a sign on the day of Pentecost. This was the full scripture that was being fulfilled. With another tongue he will speak to these people. And with stammering lips. It was a sign that the day of refreshing has come. And that day of refreshing came with what happened that day with them speaking in unknown tongue. But also, Peter stood up that same day and made reference to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Can we read it? Joel. Hallelujah. It's important that we say so many things because it does not take you 2 minutes to receive the Holy Ghost. But it will take you hours to understand who he is. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Praise the Lord. Let's go to what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Then verse 7, he said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit wither. Church, listen, hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, there was a sign and there was also a manifestation. The sign was fulfilling verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 28. and verse 12. The manifestation was talking about those gifts that began to operate that day. Now, you will notice that Apostle Paul, in teaching about the Holy Ghost, he mentioned administration. Administration here is the way that the Holy Ghost is ministered to you. If you are still awake, shout hallelujah. I want to give you a list now. Certainly, somebody here, you must manifest one of them. Now, here, now. That is. Remember, he said different administration. That means, if I tell the two of you here now, I say, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will receive. You will receive. But the way he will minister it to you will be different from the way you minister it to you. But it is the same Holy Ghost you have received. That's the meaning of differences in administration. The way the Holy Ghost is administered to you. Because we want to pray, and as soon as we begin to pray, you will begin to notice this. Praise the Lord. And one of the manifestations, praise the Lord, I mean the administration now, praise the Lord. When you be administering it to you, he may take over your mouth and you begin to speak in an unknown tongue. So I didn't condemn speaking in tongue, but everybody cannot speak in tongue because it's different administration. While your own may be speaking in tongue, another, I want to give you quite a list here because I was just meditating. And I say, let the people be well, I thought let the people be well schooled on this so that when they begin to experience it, they will not be afraid or, you know, misunderstand what they are experiencing. When I said, receive the Holy Ghost or a minister lays hands on you or you ask the Lord, give me the Holy Ghost, it may come in any of this way. You may see, I say you may speak in tongue. Something will seize your mouth. If you try to close your mouth, I have seen somebody that as he began, he saw himself speaking in tongue, he wanted to close his mouth. Something was taking the hand away. Because it is no longer you, it is him now. Another person may see a light. A light may just come and strike you. Wah! And you don't know what happened again. Until we don't close, you see yourself for altar. Somebody, a hand may touch you. You say, who touched me? Before you know, you don't know what happened again. Somebody may feel electricity, like electric current passing through you. Hallelujah. And somebody will feel as if life has gone out of you, all your bones taken out of you. You just crumble like a building that has collapsed. You just collapse for ground. Try to stand up now. There's no bone in you to stand up. And you are conscious of everything happening around you, but stand up now. You know if you stand up. Okay, please help me up. Please help me up. You know everything happening, but no power. Somebody, it may be a breeze that will just blow on you like that. Pua. Hallelujah. And another person may just feel peace and joy. Just pass through you. And then you see tears coming out of your eyes. You're wondering, why are tears coming out of my eyes? It is the administration of the Spirit. Another person may just see your body shaking and quaking. Like really, all over you. Hallelujah. Some people just shout. You just see the person shouting. And some, you may see him just dancing Holy Ghost dance. He go dance. We go see dance tonight. You go see some people go dance now. Some will feel fire all over their body. We hear them shouting, fire, oh, fire, oh, fire, oh. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Like it happened in the day of Pentecost, some may be acting as if they are drunk. They go, they walk out, they push everybody everywhere. Say they are drunk. Amen. And some may feel a movement in their throat. Some, as if your stomach is getting empty. As if you want to vomit. As if everything in your stomach wants to come out. They will shout, shout, shout. What is this? Everything that happened now, it is another way of administering the Holy Ghost. He said different administration. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then we have different operations. The operation here is the manifestation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. How will you know that you have a spirit? He manifests. And how does he manifest? He will manifest through those gifts that we see. The gift of the Spirit. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Faith. Healings. Discernment. Tongues. Interpretation of tongues. And all the rest. They are the Spirit manifesting. That is the operation. It's a different operation. But for now, we are more concerned with receiving the Holy Ghost, the administration of the Holy Ghost. And certainly, some people will experience this now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are symbols of the Holy Ghost in the Spirit. Sometimes he appears to you like a dove. Some people will just see a dove come and stand upon you. Some will see an eagle. It's a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Fire is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Water is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Rain is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Wind. Light. Or star. You see a bright star come upon you like that. Or you see a cloud cover you or cover the people. Or sometimes you see a rainbow in the spirit, a rainbow. And sometimes you see a human face. Of course, the face that God always uses is the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Sometimes you also see a lion, the head of a lion, because he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Or you see him as a lamb. When will Abraham receive the Holy Ghost? He said that it was something like a dove that came upon him. And then he said the thing changed to a cross and entered him. So he can also come as a cross. Sometimes you will hear a thunder blast. Or you will see a sword. They are all symbols of the Holy Ghost. How many of us are ready now for action? Any of these symbols, or any of this administration, those manifestation, has anybody experienced any of them here? Any day you receive the Holy Ghost, any day you receive an experience like that, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Has anybody ever experienced any of this? Eh? Fire all over you. How many? Sorry, fire. Wave your hand now. Yes. Speaking in tongue. How many? Began to speak in tongue or non-tongue. Do you know what you were saying? Yes. Hallelujah. What of tears coming from your eyes? How many? So I'm saying what people have experienced. Hallelujah. How many people have seen a light just come upon them like that, like a light? Thank you. Or you feel fire all over your body, fire. Or you find yourself just laughing and laughing and laughing. How many? You saw yourself laughing. Thank you. Or you were just moving like a drunk person, pushing everybody. You couldn't help yourself. The Holy Ghost can throw you down. You just fall down and begin to shake on the ground. You try to stand up. You can't stand up, so that you know it's a supernatural thing. Can we stand up now?